President Donald Trump has done an extensive interview with The Hill, where he was talking to a couple of their reporters. And one of the things that came up was a question about the United States Supreme Court.
On the Supreme Court, will you put forward a nominee between now and the election if there's an opening on the Supreme Court?
Would I do that? Of course. You have any recommendations?
Well, you have a big, long list, right?
I do. I have a good list. I have a good list already chosen. I have a beautiful list of great, very talented people. Absolutely.
But do you...
So the question was going to be, and it really is a question about whether or not it's going to be a problem for, you know, because there has been an issue with Senator Mitch McConnell saying, you know, stopping Merrick Garland.
Respect for Judge Garland, by the way. I have to tell you that.
So this sets us up for a conversation with Kimberly Robinson, who follows the Supreme Court for Bloomberg Law. She is tweeting at Kimberly Robinson. I'll spell it out because she skips an O, and I'll tell you which one it is coming up in a moment. Kimberly, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Always great to be on.
So first, let's get to the business at hand. We had one day yesterday. We had a decision announced. That was the FUCT case, and I don't think we need to pronounce anything. But we know that now it opens up the doors for, I guess, more free speech advertising. And I'm not sure where this is going, but give us a sense of what the court said yesterday.
Well, the issue here was really about whether or not the federal government can disfavor certain speech simply because it doesn't like it. Of course, when you put it that way, the answer is clear. The answer is no. But the issue was really this law that says that the Patent and Trade Office cannot register trademarks that are immoral or scandalous. And the Supreme Court said that's just too vague to be able to stand, that it sweeps too broadly and grabs too much speech. And so there probably will be a rush to register many immoral or scandalous trademarks. But of course, Congress could step in and do something about it.
Yeah, it's in the eye and the ear of the beholder, obviously. But how did this split along the lines of the court's liberal and conservative justices?
Well, this was actually a pretty unanimous decision, and it's really no surprise given the court's ruling a couple of terms ago about whether or not disparaging trademarks could be registered. Of course, this had to do with the musical group The Slants, but also had implications for the Washington Redskins football team. And so this kind of follows along those lines, and there was broad agreement in the court that this is just something that Congress can't do. It can't sweep so broadly when trying to regulate speech.
Again, Kimberly Robinson with a Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg BNA. Okay, so there's still some other things waiting, and I guess one of the big ones is whether or not we are going to get a decision, I guess, this week on whether or not there should be or should not be a citizenship question on the census. Is tomorrow the next day that we have the possibility of an announcement?
Tomorrow is the next day. The court was expected or was scheduled to end its Supreme Court term yesterday, but of course it didn't get out all of its opinions. It still has eight remaining, including the citizenship question. So we'll get opinions tomorrow and probably one more day as well.
All right. So in addition to the census question, I think it's pretty straightforward. A lot of people already know, you know, do we or do we not put a question about the census on there? If you want to expand about citizenship on the census, if you want to expand on the arguments, you can. But what other if major cases are we waiting for? I mean, anything in the Supreme Court obviously is important, but which ones are people watching most closely?
I think one that people are watching, in addition to the census case, is this issue of partisan gerrymandering, whether or not legislators can consider politics whenever they're drawing voting districts. And, you know, for court watchers, this will seem familiar, and that's because the court heard this issue just last term, but it punted on the issue, and now it's back again at the court. And the question for the justices is really not whether or not partisan gerrymandering is okay, but whether or not the court can do anything about it, or whether it should leave that to the political branches. So that's definitely a case that we're keeping our eye on.
All right. Now, we also know that the court has set out its docket for next year. Anything catch your eye about what the court is going to put on the calendar or has put on the calendar for next year?
Yeah, there are a lot of really interesting cases in contrast to kind of what we got this term. This term, the court kind of laid low, and the speculation goes that the court wanted to take the spotlight off of it after those contentious Kavanaugh hearings. But next term, the justices are geared up to hear issues on the Second Amendment right and other things. And it seems likely that they're going to add some really controversial issues, maybe even as soon as this week, adding those DACA cases to the list. But we'll have to see.
You know, what's interesting about that is that the court will start hearing these cases in the fall. And of course, we'll get to this point next year in June of next year when the court will be wrapping up just in time for the election. So there will probably be some fodder for the election that Supreme Court nominees. If I were president, I would appoint somebody who would feel this way about this particular issue. In other words, the court, I know, does not like to consider itself political, but sometimes it's going to get caught in the middle of the political conversation regardless.
Well, that's right. And, you know, there's wide speculation that, as I mentioned, the Supreme Court really wants to stay out of the spotlight. It's been in the spotlight a lot over the last few years, handing down some really consequential decisions. But sometimes the justices' hands are tied. They don't have any discretion to not hear a case. For example, the census case is not something that the Supreme Court can put off, even if it would like to. And that's because, you know, these census forms have to get printed in July. So sometimes the justices' hands are, you know, really forced to decide these really controversial issues, and they're forced into the spotlight.
I've been reading some of the writing lately. Elena Kagan, for example, has been very, if not outspoken, certainly has been calling attention to very publicly the concern about stare decisis, which is the issue of whether or not precedent should be the rule. It's never been just inviolable. But that said, it does seem that this court has moved more to embracing the idea of undoing precedent. Any sense of how that argument might be touched on in some of these cases for the next term of the Supreme Court?
Well, next term, actually, the court doesn't have as many chances to overturn earlier rulings. This term was really quite extraordinary in that there were four cases that asked the justices to explicitly overturn these really long-standing doctrines. Now, we haven't gotten one of those opinions, but so far the court has overturned two of them and staying its hand in only one of them. And so, as you mentioned, Justice Elena Kagan has really been calling this out. Now, she's a justice who doesn't often dissent or write separately, but this is an issue that she does do that in. And so we've seen her really strongly call out the conservative majority in these opinions. And, you know, they've been pretty explicit that it's not really these cases that the justices are concerned about, but what's coming next, what's next on the conservative majority's list to knock off.
And Kimberly, finally, give us a sense of the court, with the caveat, obviously, that we still have a couple of cases yet to have the decisions read. But how has it been relative to divisiveness, decisions that we've seen so far? More split decisions, more 5-4s this time around, or more unanimous or even close to unanimous? I mean, how is it compared to previous terms?
Well, it's been pretty usual as far as the number of split decisions. But what's really interesting is the number of crossover decisions that we've gotten. So, you would expect these 5-4 decisions to be the 5 conservatives versus the 4 liberals. But really, we've been seeing a lot of crossover where the liberals have been able to snag one of the Republican appointees. And so just yesterday, we saw Justice Neil Gorsuch crossover for the 3rd time this term. So it's been really interesting and unique to watch. Just last week, Justice Alito crossed over for the very first time to give the liberals a win. And so it's really been a term of crossover votes.
That one, by the way, was one that really shocked me. I was like, when I saw the rundown of the votes and I saw Sam Alito with the more liberal wing, I went, wow, this must have been something interesting. That's an interesting argument.
It was really interesting, but he's not the only one. All of the justices, Justice Kavanaugh, Thomas, and even the Chief Justice have all crossed over this term. So I think that's the opportunity for liberals, is kind of on one-off basis, to snag a conservative justice over to their side. And we'll see how successful they are at doing it in these bigger cases that come up, although I suspect that they won't have as much luck.
Yeah, it's just a reminder, don't ever try to figure out what the Supreme Court's going to do next.
Exactly.
Never know for sure. Kimberly, thanks so much.
And thank you for having me on.
Kimberly Robinson, Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg Law, the latest. And again, tomorrow and probably Friday, we'll get more decisions from the court. And we're waiting for the decision on that census case, whether or not there should or should not be a citizenship question on there. Anyway, Kimberly is tweeting at Kimberly Robinson, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y. Robinson, she spells it R-O-B-I-N-S-N for the purposes of Twitter, at Kimberly Robinson.